Good morning. It is nice to see you here. Welcome. If it's your first time, it is really great to see you. We can tell you that there's tea and coffee. You don't see it, but there's a door here. So please feel free to join us after service. Those who have been here before, great to see you back. And good to see the kids. Nice to see you. For those of you who spent yesterday glued to a television, what can I say? Montrose 5, Alloa 4. It was a cracking game. And the commentary was in Gaelic, so it didn't annoy me. Sadly, however, we have to announce the death of a member. Mrs. Anne Russell, who lived up at Drumoig, passed away on Monday. Can I ask you to stand for a moment of silence, please? Lord of all, we give you thanks for the life of Anne Russell. She has reached journey's end and now stands in your light. Be with her family at this time and bring the comfort and the solace as only you can. This we ask in your son's name. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. Lord, we come to hear your word. Open our hearts and lives again, so let your voice be heard. Your word is truth and life to us, to light the way as we believe your promises and renew our faith. Let us worship that God. Our first hymn this morning is hymn 336 in the hymn book, for those who like it that way, or it's on the overheads. Christ is our light, hymn 336. In Proverbs, we read, "Listen, do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck." Let us pray. Gracious God, as a mother so loves her child, you love us. For that great truth, we praise and thank you. We owe our very lives to you. You have watched over us from our birth, tenderly nurturing us, showering us with love. When we needed you, you have been there. For that great truth, we praise and thank you. You have given us strength in times of need, comfort in times of distress, encouragement in times of despair. guidance in times of uncertainty. Whatever we have faced, you have been with us. Gracious God, we have not always appreciated that love, all too often ignoring what you would teach us, disobeying your instructions, taking you for granted, and wandering far from your side. Yet through it all, your love has remained constant. For that great truth, we praise and thank you. Gracious God, caring for us more than you care for yourself, sacrificing your all for our sakes, loving us with an unquenchable love, you have called us to be your children. For that great truth, we praise and thank you. Father, be with us. Be with us as we bring to you the family prayer of the church brought to us by your Son. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, boys and girls, come on out. Well, I'm really pleased you're not wearing that Irish shirt today, but that's another story. What have you got on, George? What's the jersey? Oh, it's Portugal. Oh, we've beaten them. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something really difficult this morning, okay? I want you to imagine that there's just us here, not them, okay? Just us. Do you think we could do that? No. Yes? Oh, well done. George is saying no. All the rest are saying yes. George, yes. Yeah. And you're not sure. No, that's two no's and four. I think yes have it, yes have it. Right. We'll try it then. I'm going to ask, what day is it today? It's Sunday. There's something else. Mother's Day. Two of you knew that. That's good. Right. I've got some questions to ask. Now, the questions, this is why I've asked you to be on your own. What's the first one? What would you choose? We're going to get some things to choose, okay? What would you choose? You notice the you stands out there. It's bold, it's you. And the second question is, what would Mum choose for you? Okay. And it's all right. Nobody can see you anyway because you're below the board, okay? You're below the pew board. Right, here we go. We're talking breakfast here for the first one. Let's have a look. What would... Porridge? Or what else might you have for breakfast?
Cereal.
Cereal. Yes. Right. However, if you were given this as a choice, chocolate-covered donut. Any votes? Hands up for the cereal. Hands up for chocolate donut. One. Two. Funnily enough, the vote was unanimous. Yeah. Do you think Mum might say, no, eat your cereal rather than the donut?
Because the donut is sweet.
The donut's sweet, isn't it? Yeah. It's maybe the best thing for starting off the day. All right, okay. But you've chosen. That's great. I like the answers there. Okay, what's next? Now, if you were choosing, right, computer games, what do you play on the computer? Do you all play on computer or phones or what have we got? What are games? I don't know. Do you have computer games?
I watched telly this morning.
You watched telly this morning. Oh, goody. What was on?
Can't remember.
Good. Big impression there. Okay. So if you were choice, Mum, I want to play computers or I want to play on, watch the TV. Or read a book. Hands up whether you like computer games or TV or books? Which would you prefer?
Books.
Book?
Books. Computer game.
Computer game?
Book.
Telly. So we've got telly, book, Minecraft. Now, oddly enough, I did have Minecraft. Oh, we've changed votes now. And you said books. Yeah. Why do you think Mum might say books rather than watching the telly or computers?
Books are like they've been written and things, but computer games, like, you're not actually achieving anything. So, like, you can learn things from books and you can get really excited about books.
You should be up here, you know. Books are written. They excite you. Wasn't that what you said? And they're much better than computer games or TV. Everybody agree with that? Or anybody disagree? No, you're going to say computer games, aren't you? You're going to say computer... Minecraft.
Thumbdog.
Right, no, I've no idea what that is. Is that a computer?
It's a computer.
Right. Well, we're starting to swing back here now. Oh, there's a drift. Okay, but I think Mum would say books, because exactly for what you were saying, they've been written for us, the right level, you can learn so much about them in books, your own pace, you know. Right, okay, what's next? No, you don't even have, I haven't said anything yet, there's no. No, we're not having that. Tidy up, okay? Mum says, tidy up. Oh, come on, tidy up. Or, what's the next option? Or play. What do you think?
Play.
That gladdens my heart. However, what would Mum choose?
Tidy up.
Yes. We don't have to tidy up because Mummy and Daddy do it for us. But I've just told everybody here that. That'll change tomorrow morning. I think you blew it there. There's a time for tidying up, isn't there? But not when you want to play. Right, okay. Okay, what we get to next? Get to bed. No. Get to bed or... Okay, where are we going? Stay awake. I want to stay up. Right, where are we? Stay awake or go to bed? Not sure. Oh, good, you're a politician. Right, what about you? That's two. You know the writer. Stay awake, okay? George?
Stay awake.
Go to sleep. Get a good sleep. You're comfortably relaxed. I have to say, he's lying on the floor like this. You're a champion. And what about you? You get the deciding vote here. Go to sleep. Stay awake, right? Okay. Why do you think Mum says, go to bed and have a sleep?
I stay awake.
Shh. You might be letting secrets away. Tell me. And I'll...
He doesn't stay awake.
I don't know if you heard that. He said, sometimes I stay awake and I hear George in his bed and he's snoring. George is now withdrawing that statement. He is not. I'm pretending to snore, yes. I do that as well, oddly enough. So we're pretending to snore. I like that, George. You're going far. Okay, we've had all these choices. Why do you think Mum would say, go to bed, or any of these? Yes. It's having getting the energy and all the rest. Oh, I don't think I want to say that again. He He's fine. He's comfy. He's lying there, head back, relaxed. 2 minutes, I'm going to be down there with him. Everybody's starting to copy it now. They're all starting to lie back, yes. Group therapy. They're all now lying on the floor, hands behind their back. Right. Yeah, it's Mother's Day. And mothers are great. They do everything for you. They're there to help and all the things. And what we have to do is to listen, to obey. It's because Mum loves you. She wants to make sure that you're the best you can be. And she chooses things, tells you to do things which you have to do. Now, there's nothing wrong with chocolate donuts or computer games. There's a donut behind you. Right. What donut? Stand up. Stand up. What's going to happen now is two things. Lizzie's going to say a prayer, and then I've got a wee job for you all. All right? We're going to say a prayer. So let's pray.
Father, we thank you for our mothers. Thank you for their love, their work, and their patience. To help us to grow up strong and healthy and doing the right things. Amen.
Come this way. How many have we got? Okay. Could you two start down this aisle and give it to all the ladies in the congregation? Could you two, can you take them? All right, George, be careful. And you're going to give them, you can take some. You're going to give them to all the ladies in the congregation. Okay. You go up the other aisle. Could you do the ladies in the choir? Go up the choir. How are we doing? I have to say, these are not just ordinary daffodils. So now you know where I bought them. One of the great joys of taking the children's address or being a teacher is you get to hand the kids back. Has everybody got? Thank you very much. Come and sit down, champions. We're going to sing a hymn now. I think it's 692. Jesus put this song into our hearts. Okay, there was something.
Just to live. The reading this morning is taken from the New Testament, from the Gospel of John. John chapter 9, verses 1 to 41, can be found on page 1075 in your pew Bibles, or you can follow on the overhead. John chapter 9, verses 1 to 41. Jesus heals a man born blind. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "And then, where were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. The Pharisees investigate the healing. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened that man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight, until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is the age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. And that's why the parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, who could do nothing? To this they replied, you are steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Spiritual blindness. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what? Are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. God bless the reading of this holy word. Let's sing together now the hymn 187, There is a Wideness in God's Mercy.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, through our Saviour Jesus Christ, you have raised us to new life in your love, and in baptism you have made us one with him, so that now we are the children of light. Grant that we may walk in his light and show forth your glory in the world, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? This miracle is unique. It is the only one in the Gospels where the person has had an affliction since birth. The blind man must have been quite well known, and the disciples were aware of his blindness. So they used this opportunity to pose a question. A question which had occupied Jewish theologians for a long time. There was a basic assumption that wherever there was suffering, there was sin. Some scholars believed that sin entered a baby whilst it was still in their mother's womb. Genesis 4, verse 7. Sin is crouching at the door. Others believed that souls existed long before time began, even before the Garden of Eden. At this point, all souls were good. When a soul entered into a body, a small number remained clean, but the rest were filled with sin. And of course, throughout the Old Testament, there is the belief that not only the children, that children are born in sin, but the sins of the parents are visited upon them. So, even before he was born, this poor man's blindness must have been caused by sin. At the heart of the Pharisees' thinking was this concept of a universe, a universe entirely and completely infested with sin. It was unavoidable. Even the very air they breathed was full of sin. Jesus dismisses the question. He is quite clear about how that affliction came to the blind man. It was so that God could demonstrate his power. In John's Gospel, the miracles are always a sign of God's power and glory. In the other Gospels, the miracles are regarded as a sign of God's compassion. The feeding of the 5,000, the cleansing of the leper, and so on, came when Jesus showed compassion. Now, there's no contradiction here. God's compassion and God's power and glory are simply two ways of looking at the same thing. At the very heart of the Gospels, there is a supreme truth. The glory of God lies in his compassion, and that God never reveals, truly reveals that glory as when he shows his pity. Whenever sorrow, affliction, pain or disappointment are apparent, there is the great comfort that we never have to face them alone. Jesus is our guide, our companion, and our comforter. However, that doesn't mean that our troubles disappear. In his commentary on this passage, Willie Barclay relates the story of an old man dying in pain and in agony. He sends for the family, saying, "Come, come and see how a Christian can die." Barclay argues that any suffering is a God-given opportunity to show the glory of God in our own lives. Now, although I can just about understand that idea, I do have some reservations, but many people are indeed admired for their fortitude, the fortitude they show in great adversity. And we often remark how well someone is coping with grief or pain or disappointment. In the darkest of hours, God is always with us. It is his compassion, his nearness, and his comfort which demonstrates his glory. John 9, verse 4. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. This week heralded the 30th anniversary of an event that can still sadden the heart. And as someone who was a primary school head teacher at the time, I hesitated about mentioning it at all because of the fear of the deep rawness returning. At the memorial service, the Reverend Professor J. A. White's sermon included these words. On the morning of the 13th of March, light was turned into darkness. And yet, even after 6 months, a short period in the history of grief, darkness can never be allowed to have the last word. There is a journey we all must make, a journey into a more civilized society. The journey of our society led to a significant change in the law regarding handguns, and later to how we offer greater protection to children and vulnerable adults. The memory of Dunblane forces us to recognise that there is evil in the world. But so too is peace and love and even joy. Never underestimate them. We can demonstrate the glory of God in the way we ourselves react to those in pain, in trouble, or in adversity. When we follow Jesus, who is the way and the light, we can also become part of that way, part of that light, part of a journey into a better society. When we, in whatever way we can, offer help or give comfort or show kindness to those who are in need of that assistance, God is using us as his light for the world. It is his help that we deliver into the heart of his people. To help someone in need is to show the glory of God. It shows what God is like, a God of love and care, love and care and gentle peace given to all. But Jesus does not leave things there. He offers a timely warning, and in this reading, he is clear that he and his followers must do the work of his Father while there is still time to do it. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent him, John 9:4. In biblical times, of course, they lacked the modern joys of electricity when work stopped, when daylight faded. Well, it did for the men. I think the women probably just carried on working in whatever light there was available. But the point Jesus made was valid. All time is limited, and that time has to include all the work of God, work which we have been called to undertake. It is the season of Lent. For Jesus, the darkness of the night was waiting for him as he turned towards Jerusalem and the cross. It's equally true for us. Our time is limited. We are called to make the best of it. Shakespeare put it this way in Henry IV, Part 1. O gentlemen, the time of life is short. To spend that shortness basely were too long. We should never put off things until a better time, for that time may never come. Jesus calls us to fill our time in the service of his Father and in the service of others. In the service of others. Jesus healed a blind man, and here we have a great example of what it means. It's one man's journey, a journey of faith, a journey which demonstrates the glory and the power of God. Now, for this unfortunate man, the first step was an act of healing. It led the now sighted man to reveal the identity and the importance of Jesus. In verse 11 we read, saying, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it in my eyes." At the beginning, the cured man thought of Jesus as a very wonderful man. He had never met a man who could do what Jesus did. We can ask ourselves, do we sometimes underplay the human side of Jesus? In a list of the world's greatest leaders, Jesus would find a very high place. In the book of the world's greatest stories, the parables would deservedly get a strong mention. No small wonder that the blind man thought of Jesus as supreme among men. He then goes on to call Jesus a prophet. The once blind man is brought before the Pharisees. They point out that Jesus is clearly someone who has sinned, someone beyond the norms of society. The Pharisees question the blind man about his opinion of Jesus. He replies firmly, "He is a prophet." Now, in the book of Amos, and for the avoidance of doubt, that's the biblical Amos, rather than one or two other books of Amos, which are readily available hereabouts. In Amos chapter 3, verse 7, we find, "Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants the prophets." A prophet, therefore, is someone who lives close to God, who knows God well. Prophets belong in his inner circle. When we read the words of wisdom spoken by Jesus, when we take to heart his immortal words, we are bound to agree with the quote from Amos, "This is a prophet." If we all followed the teachings of Jesus, all the present problems that this world is facing would disappear. Social, national, international, solved. If anyone had the right to be called a prophet, it was Jesus. And then to take the next step, to complete his faith journey, the blind man comes to realize that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. All normal human categories were indeed inadequate to describe Jesus. Jesus was able to do things that were beyond human power. He knew things that no other human could possibly know. When Jesus spoke, it was an authority which came not from any earthly source, but directly from God. Like the blind man, we can discover a wonderful thing about going on a journey with Jesus. It is that the more we find out about him, the greater Jesus becomes. Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Father God, your Son has guided us from an infested world of sin into one of light. Grant us the ability to continue on in our faith journey so that we can fully demonstrate your power and your glory in our lives. In your Son's name, amen.
Thank you.
We continue our service by singing together hymn 540 in the hymn book, and on the overheads, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Please be seated. We have our prayer of offering and dedication. Let us pray. Sovereign God, though we offer our money and dedicate ourselves to your service, it all seems so small when compared to the needs of our world and the work of your kingdom. We wonder what our gifts can do or our lives achieve. So great are the need, and so small seem our resources. Yet, you are able to take what seems insignificant and use it in ways far beyond our expectations. Receive then all that we are and all that we bring, and work through us to do your will and fulfill your purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We come now to our prayers of intercession. Normally, we would include it a wide spectrum of areas of concern, but today I have a prayer which is more specific and thinking of the very special feelings surrounding Mother's Day. For those who feel comfortable, there's a response when I say, Lord of Love. The response is, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, you know what it is to love your children, to watch over them tenderly, anxiously, proudly, and constantly. You know what this means, for you have called us your children, and you care for each of us as deeply as a mother cares for her child. So, now we pray for those entrusted with the responsibilities of motherhood, all those who watch over their children with the same feelings and intensity. Grant to each one your wisdom, guidance, and strength. Lord of love, hear our prayer. We pray especially for single mothers, for those faced with the challenge of raising a child on their own, with no one else to share the demands or the joys of parenthood. Grant to each of them patience, devotion, and dedication. Lord of love, hear our prayer. We pray for those who have lost their mothers or have never known them, those orphaned as children or given up for adoption, those whose mothers have died, all those for whom this day brings pain rather than pleasure. Give them your comfort, your support, and the assurances of your love always with them. Lord of love, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are separated from their children, those whose children have moved far from home, those who have suffered a miscarriage or been through an abortion, those who have endured the agony of a child's death. Give to them your help, your solace, and your hope for the future. Lord of love, hear our prayer. Gracious God, you understand what mothers face, what they give, what they feel. Accept our thanks for them this day and grant them all your special blessing. Lord of love, hear our prayer. This we pray in the name of your Son. Amen. Our final hymn this morning, you can find in the hymn book at number 543 or on the overheads. Longing for light, we wait in darkness. Our service here has ended, and we journey out into the world. As we do so, be bold to tell the story of Jesus and to show his love and the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Be with us and those whom we love, now and evermore.